Good morning. I'm going to look at a lesson today that I've titled "Consider My Servant Blank," and you're going to be filling in the blank yourself. Now, when I think of that statement, "Consider my servant," it goes to the passage that Don read. Consider my servant Job. We all, and not that I want us to dwell on negative, but I'm sure each one of us could come up with an extensive list of things that we've endured, things that we may be enduring right now or in the past. And yet here we are. But when I think of things that go on in life and people that endured and came through the other end victorious, did not lose their faith, the first one that comes to my mind is Job. In Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it gives a little bit of a description of this man. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." I want to pause right here before we finish this passage. What a wonderful wonderful thing that could be said about any of us. If that could be on our tombstone, this person was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. What a legacy Job has created out of his lifestyle. We still today are benefiting from the events of Job's life. Goes on to say, "And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him." Now, I had one growing up. One kept me busy. 7 of them. So 7 sons and 3 daughters. I don't know how he did it. Mrs. Job gets a crown, you know, for that one. But, "And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household." So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. In just these few verses, we get a pretty good look at Job. He was an upright and blameless man who feared God and he shunned evil. And he had quite a few possessions. He had a large family and he had been successful in life. And he was being called the greatest of all the people in the East. In verse 8, it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil.'" And we know this account. of Job and what he goes through and all of that. It's one of the stories we learn in Bible class from our youth. It will probably be one of the early accounts that little James learns. We know this, and I don't mean story as a fable, but we know the story of Job. The devil is countering to God. Oh yeah, he's blameless and upright only because of all he has. It's easy to be faithful when things are going your way. Let me have a shot at him, God. God says, okay. Consider my servant. God had as much faith in Job as Job had in God. Take your shot at him. And in verses 13 through 19, in one fell swoop, he loses all his possessions. Raiders come, kill the servants, take off his oxen, the camels, all the livestock. There was a lot of them. Talk about the old days of, the old cowboy moved cattle rustlers came and stole all his herds. They killed his servants, and after suffering all of that, losing everything you had, his children all died. All in one fell swoop. You talk about a gut punch. Multiple gut punches. I go into a tailspin if the $5 bill falls out of my pocket. He lost everything he had. And then his children were taken from him. Job's reaction to this, we see in verse 20 and verse 21. It says, then Job went out and screamed at God, raised his fist. Why did you do this to me? I've had faith in you. Why did you let this happen? If this is the kind of God you are, I don't want nothing to do with you. Verse 20 says, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Wow. Wow. He worshiped God. He goes on to say, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In a handful of verses, we learn an awful lot about a God-fearing man named Job. In chapter 2, the devil wasn't done with Job. The devil had his way with Job, and he stood firm. He comes back to God and said, well, he's just lost things. When it starts getting personal on him, God said, do it. Just don't take his life. Have at it. I got faith in him. And the devil cursed Job with painful boils all over his body. I don't know if you've ever had a boil. If I remember back, I had one. I thought I was going to die. I don't like hangnails. I don't like picking a splinter out of my finger. I am a big baby. Job had boils all over his body. You talk not only a physical, visual malady, but a painful one. Then his wife turns against him. Now, Mrs. Job is a love-hate relationship. I'm thinking, of all I've gone through, I can't even get some support from my wife. But then I think, she's lost everything too. She just doesn't have the boils. She's lost their household possessions that's made them rich. All the livestock, the servants, this and that. And all of her children that she brought forth, that she nursed, that she raised, are dead. And in verse 9, his wife turns to him and then she says to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Just curse God and die and get it over with. Job responds to her. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And we know the end of the story. They lived happily ever after. All of his possessions were restored. More children were born to him and his wife, and they lived happily ever after. But what a lesson we have. Consider my servant Job. Job had lost his possessions, his children, and his health was even affected. And he held fast his integrity and his faith. Satan could never break him. God was confident of that. God had as much faith in Job. Devil, take your best shot with him. I got faith in him. He's not going to do it. And the devil couldn't break him. Consider my servant blank. You fill it in with you. Could we hold up to that? We've got more examples other than Job to uplift us. We consider my servant David. In 1 Samuel 17, we all know another childhood story that we all know. How a young man, David, while running an errand for dad, is sent to the army to check on his brothers and to bring things to their commanders. And while he's there, he encounters Goliath. Goliath, this big giant warrior, is challenging the armies of Israel to Come out and fight him. You win, we'll be your servants. We win, you'll be ours. And everybody was scared. And David winds up standing up to this giant when nobody else was willing to. Consider my servant David. Consider my servant Peter. In Matthew 14, we see Peter exhibiting great faith by leaping out of a boat and walking on the water. Why? Because Jesus told him to. Jesus told him to get out of the boat. He wanted to. Jesus, come on. And he did. We've got, consider my servants, Peter and John. In the early days of the church, we see these fishermen, uneducated fishermen, bearing the load of the church on their shoulders. Jesus has already ascended into heaven, and they're carrying the weight of leadership of the church on them. They will stand toe to toe with the religious leaders of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. They had been beaten. They had been told, quit preaching Jesus. They throw them in jail. They let them out. If you learned your lesson, they turn right around, they're preaching again. They bring them back before them. And in Acts 29, or 5:29, why didn't we tell you to quit preaching? And Peter responded, we must obey God rather than men. Consider my servants, Peter and John. Consider my servant, Paul. Where I'm really excited going over the life of and the ministry of Paul in the Sunday morning Bible class with Preston. If you're not in the habit of coming to Bible class, come. It's interesting. In Philippians 3, Paul writes from prison to encourage the Christians in Philippi. And he's telling them that he was considered a Hebrew of Hebrews. We were talking about that today. And he was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. And he says he's left all of that he may gain Christ. The things that the world holds high esteem, he's turned his back on it and left it for Christ. In 2 Corinthians, he gets into a fairly extensive list explaining all the things physically he's gone through, all for being a Christian, all for wanting to preach Jesus, how he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, stoned, whipped, left for dead. That must have been a pretty bad beating to be left for dead, thinking we've killed him. That, you know, Paul the Energizer Bunny comes back. He's been imprisoned. He suffered hunger and thirst. Why? All to preach. And I think sometimes, oh man, I got to drive all the way across town in a car to preach. Paul's smacking me upside the head on that one, you know. In 1 Corinthians 9, 16, Paul explains himself, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Consider my servant, Paul. Here's where you need to put your name, my name, in it. Consider my servant, Bruce. Consider my servant, Preston. Consider my servant, Jerry. Which of us And if you haven't, I want to meet you. And shake your hand, because I don't know if any of us have not faced things. Some of us, I know, sitting in here, have faced severe financial setbacks. But yet here we are. Consider my servant. The loss of dear loved ones. We just had a prayer for Garfield's aunt who passed away. But you know what? We've all lost through death. You can lose a loved one without death occurring. Through an estranged relationship. Through sin. Lots of ways. Through drug abuse, alcohol. Many of us have endured major health issues. But here we are. Job not only faced all that stuff, but his wife is urging him to curse God and die. Some of us in here have very little or no religious support from spouse. I am so lucky to have a loving, a tolerant that puts up with me. Stacy encourages me to be a better person. I am a better person and a better Christian because of my spouse. Not everybody can say that. They don't have that support. But here we are. Many of us have survived church splits and the ravage that we've seen that's come out of that. Many people, if they fall away over that. But yet, here we are. Some of us have been disowned. Maybe when you became a Christian, your family goes back to great-great-grandma. They've all been X, Y, or Z. A Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Mormon, a this, a that, a Catholic. What? You're leaving? Your family is this. No, I'm a Christian now. Some of you have been disowned by your family over religion. You face disappointments not only from without the church, but from within the church. Those are some of the most hurtful. Disappointments from people outside, you almost expect. You almost expect those. But people that hurt you inside the church, the gossip, maybe sinful behavior, just seeing the ugly side of humans with the label Christian on them, it's disappointing at times. And it goes back to that same statement, and yet here we are. Serving, worshiping, giving praise to God. I'm always encouraged by the words Paul would write from a prison cell to the Philippians. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Consider my servant, you fill in the blank. Here's the lesson's yours. Here's the command. Here's your lesson for the week to do your homework. Get up. Put your big boy, girl, or boy pants on. Put your armor on. Sharpen that sword of yours. And get after it. Because when God says, consider my servant, we've got a lot to live up to. Don't think the devil ain't going to come after us. He promises he will. The lesson's yours. If we can be of service to you through the invitation, through baptism or prayers, if you need to repent of sin in your life, whatever your need, please come forward while we're led in the invitation. Michael?